भक्ति वासुदेवाया।
So we are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamil, delivered by Vishnu Dutas, text 41.
Tataha,
Tataha,
Gunibhyah,
Gunibhyah,
Atmanam,
Atmanam,
Viyujya,
Viyujya,
Atma,
Atma,
Samadina,
Samadina,
Yuyuje,
Yuyuje,
Bhagavat,
Bhagavat,
Dhamni,
Dhamni,
Brahmani,
Brahmani,
Anubhava,
Anubhava,
Atmani,
Atmani,
Tatogunebhya Atmanam,
Tatogunebhya Atmanam,
Viyujyatma Samadina,
Viyujyatma Samadina,
Yuyujye Bhagavad Dhamni,
Yuyujye Bhagavad Dhamni,
Brahmanyanubhavatmani,
Brahmanyanubhavatmani,
Tato Gunibhya Atmanam,
Tato Gunibhya Atmanam,
Viyujyatma Samadina,
Viyujyatma Samadina,
Yuyujye Bhagavad Dhamni,
Yuyujye Bhagavad Dhamni,
Brahmanyanubhavatmani, Tato Gunibhya Atmanam,
Tato Gunibhya Atmanam,
Yujyatma Samadina,
Yujyatma Samadina,
Yuyujye Bhagavad Dhamni,
Yuyujye Bhagavad Dhamni,
Brahmanyanubhavatmani,
Brahmanyanubhavatmani, Tato Gunibhya Atmanam,
Tato Gunibhya Atmanam,
Viyujyatma Samadina,
Viyujyatma Samadina,
Yuyuje Bhagavatmani,
Yuyuje Bhagavatdhamni,
Brahmani Anubhyatmana,
Brahmani Anubhatmani, Tataha,
Tataha.
Well, let me just say, when a word ends in I, the word is Brahmani. Okay? Brahmani. And so the word in the last line, right?
Yeah.
The word actually is Brahmani, and it ends naturally in I. You see in the word for word,
yeah,
it's Brahmani. But it's followed by a vowel. So then the I changes to a Y. And you more or less do like this, Brahman Yanubhat. Yanubhavatmani, you see, you just...
Brahmanyanubhavatmani.
Yeah, in other words, for saying it, you can just say Brahman Yanubhavatmani. You know, you put the Y with the next...
Oh, right.
You can do it like that.
Brahman Yanubhavatmani.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to go. Okay. Tataha.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Gunebhyaha.
Gunebhyaha.
From the modes of material nature. Atmanam,
Atmanam,
the mind,
the mind,
Viyujya,
Viyujya,
detaching,
detaching,
Atmasamadina,
Atmasamadina,
by being fully engaged in devotional service,
by being fully engaged in devotional service,
Yuyujye,
Yuyujye,
engaged,
engaged,
Bhagavat Dhamni,
Bhagavat Dhamni,
in the form of the Lord,
in the form of the Lord,
Brahmani,
Brahmani,
which is Para Brahman,
which is Para Brahman,
Para Brahman, not idol worship,
not idol worship,
Anubhava Atmani,
Anubhava Atmani,
which is always thought of,
which is always thought of,
beginning from the lotus feet and gradually progressing upward.
Beginning from the lotus feet and gradually
translation. Ajamil, fully engaged in devotional service. Thus he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. If one worships the deity in the temple, one's mind will naturally be absorbed in thought of the Lord and his form. There is no distinction between the form of the Lord and the Lord himself. Therefore, bhakti yoga is the most easy system of yoga. Yogis try to concentrate their minds upon the form of the Supersoul, Vishnu, within the heart, but this same objective is easily achieved when one's mind is absorbed in the deity worship in the temple. In every temple, there is a transcendental form of the Lord, and one may easily think of this form by seeing the Lord during arti, by offering bhoga, and by constantly thinking of the form of the deity, one becomes a first-class yogi. This is the best process of yoga, as confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Yoginam mukhi sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shradavan bhajate yomam same yuktatta mo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The first class yogi is he who controls his senses and detaches himself from material activities by always thinking of the form of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parastaya Bhutale Sumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kinamane Namaste Sarasate Deve Kauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sumivari Pachacha De Satarane Om Mangyanam Timurandasya Vananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmiritam Jainam Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Vansukalpa Tudubhyas Chakrit Pasindhu Vyeva Shakti Tanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Tamaha. Ajamil, fully engaged in devotional service, thus he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. So specifically, he's in the temple. That was stated in the last verse. And here he's worshipping Bhagavad Dhamni, one way to say the deity in the temple. Brahmani, which is Paramatma. And then Prabhupada says in Prithas, he's not an idol. So one has to have, this is bhakti yoga, that the Lord becomes available for our meditation in the form of the deity. The basis is, as Prabhupada says, there's no difference between the Lord and the Lord's form. Well, this has to be explained to people sometimes because they see a deity, they think, oh, this is idol worship. Idol means you're worshiping something that is not God as God. That is an idol, false God. False God. And so especially, well, let's look at it this way. People from who have been raised in Jewish, Christian, and Islamic traditions, they're usually a little negative about deities in the temple. They think this is an idol, just any visual image of God. And there's some prejudice against. Well, I think it's two things. One thing is, if I say to anybody from, I say to people that God and God's name are the same, that I say Krishna, Krishna's actually present. Those people have no trouble with that. In other words, but the sound Krishna is also, it's a form, it's the Lord in the form of sound. Sound is a material element. It's also one of the ingredients of the material world. So there is the Lord appearing in a material way. But still they don't have any problem. So, but the same principle is there, that if I have a picture of Krishna or a statue of Krishna, that's actually of Krishna, not something else, but then the same process, Krishna and Krishna's name are the same, Krishna and Krishna's picture are the same, Krishna and Krishna's statue are the same. Same process. Same principle. Same principle is there. This Krishna and Krishna's name. Why are they the same? Because in the spiritual world, these dualities are not there. So there's no difference between that which is named and the name. Because it's a spiritual reality. So similarly, picture of Krishna. And so for this reason, and by Krishna's agreement, he said, Prabhupada describes like this, Krishna says that you cannot see spirit. You can only see stone or wood. I'm not stone or wood, I'm spirit. But I can appear as stone or as wood. Can we say to God, it's not allowed? Because you can't see me, because you only see matter, I'll appear as if I were stone or as if I were. So I'll be accessible to you. Now you can't see me. You can't touch me. You can't bathe me. You can't dress me. You can't feed me. I'll come this way. Can you say, no, it's against the rules? Who sets the rules? Who's God? And so if he wants to do it, he can do it. He can change matter to spirit and spirit to matter back and forth, no problem. Actually, from Krishna's point of view, there's no difference. They're just different energies of his. And because everything is related to Krishna, in the ultimate sense, everything is spirit. But there's this particular kind of spirit that we call matter. And what that does is sometimes make Krishna invisible to us. And this kind of spirit, we can forget Krishna. And the spiritual world proper, that's not possible to forget Krishna. But here you have the facility to forget. But otherwise, actually, this is another energy of Krishna. So really, Krishna's energy is one, but it just works in different ways. Prabhupada gives the example that electricity, used one way, it cools, used another way, it heats. Same electricity. So the same energy of Krishna. This way or that way. So actually, bhakti yoga is actually the process of reconverting matter back into spirit. Because actually it is, in a way, originally spiritual, because everything is connected with Krishna. But because it's covered by sense gratification or illusion or maya, we don't see Krishna. But again, we engage in Krishna service, again, Krishna appears everywhere. So that's the purpose of the deity. The other idea is people think that God has no form. In other words, he's not such a being that you can have a picture of him. Because although they think like this, although he's a person, still he has no body. But if you just look at English, no body means nobody. from a Vedic point of view, to say that God is a person is to say that God has senses. Or even me, anyone, when we say a person, means that you have senses. And the senses mean, it's Sanskrit, that the word indriya, mean there's two kinds. One is the gyan indriya, the knowledge acquiring senses, by which the world comes into being. So my instruments of sight, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. The other group of indriya are called karmindriya. Those are the instruments by which I act on the world. So my hands, my instruments of manipulation, my two legs, my instruments of moving around. These are also senses, or indriya in the Sanskrit term. I use the word instrument. My tongue, which sound production. This tongue is both. It's a gyan indriya for tasting and a karma indriya for making speech or sound. And then I also have the instruments for reproduction, genitals, and also I have instruments for passing waste. Those are the karma indriya. So to say that I'm a person means that I have senses. And that means I have form or a body. Because this body is just an organized arrangement of these instruments centered around a mind and a consciousness. Right? So that's the meaning of person. So from Vedic perspective, to say God is a person means to say God has form. Now, not material form, spiritual form. Those who are materialists, they can't imagine such a thing as a spiritual form. But he has a spiritual form. And you see, in the Bible, for example, God is always talked of as having a form. He walked in the garden of Eden. When Moses goes on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, it says that he could not see God's face, but he saw his back. Huh? That means he had a back, he had a face, but he couldn't see his face. But definitely he had form. That's everywhere in the Bible you see that God is a person, therefore he has a form. But if people can't, that they can't see that form, then how can they? They haven't seen it, and they can't make a deity. Or, then later on, I think, influenced by Greek philosophy, the rabbis, and said, no, actually, this is just allegorical. He really is formless, a mental person. They think that God is just a mind, somehow or other, which means a ghost. It's not a full person. Therefore, you can't have a relationship with it. All I hear is God's voice, which is what usually in the Bible, the personal contact is you hear his voice. That's like having a relation with somebody only by telephone. People have relationships with telephone, ultimately they want to meet because then they have a more complete relationship. So God's not a part of a person. He's a full person. We are form, that which we come from. We have senses, God has senses. We are, Prabhupada said, small samples of God, and we can understand God by understanding ourselves. So God is a person. A person means he has form. You haven't seen it, then you can't make a deity. But there are those people who have seen Krishna. They said, this is what he looks like. Number of people have seen Krishna, and they say like that. And then, Hare Krishna, then they take what they have seen and they put it and make an image in the outside world They see him in his heart, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Daivari Deshu Vilokayanti. That those whose eyes are covered by the ointment of prema, Premanjana Charita. Anjana means like a ointment for the eyes. So if that ointment is prema, then you can see. A Chincha Guna Swarupa, Shyama Sundar, who has inconceivable transcendental qualities. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, Krishna has described the qualities of one who has no qualities. Means he has no material qualities, but still he has spiritual qualities. Those who think all qualities are material, or think form means material form, or name means material name, this is their speculation. They say, all I know are material qualities. All I know are material names. All I know are material forms. So we have to say, why are you the judge of what there is? How are you to say that all forms are material forms? Just because you haven't seen? Others have seen spiritual form of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna appears in this way. When he appears in the temple, that's actually what Krishna looks like. Those who have seen him with their direct spiritual vision, then they have put place that form in the outside world, so that we who don't have that direct spiritual vision, who can only see matter, still we can see him, feed him, touch him, bathe him, dress him, and so on. That's not an idol. If I have a form of Krishna, that's actually a form of Krishna, that's not an idol. And just as Krishna and Krishna's name are the same, because of non-duality, so similarly Krishna and Krishna's statue are the same. So it's actually atheistic for a devotee to look at the deity and see only stone or wood. You say, here is Krishna. Maybe I can't see everything. But if we accept that here is Krishna, who this is his archa avatar, this is also avatar of Krishna, for worship in the temple. The more I treat Krishna like a person, that therefore we are very, very careful to try to do this. Once when Prabhupada came to Vrindavan temple, he saw that the deities had garlands and the flowers were dead. And then Prabhupada said, you think it's just a statue? Because if we would never give Prabhupada a flower garland because he's dead, because he would see the flowers are rotten. But you put them on the deity, you think, oh, he doesn't know, he's just a statue. Or the food you offer to the deity is not nice, or whatever you do, you think he's just a statue. He doesn't notice. So we have to treat the deity like a person. The more we accept Krishna this way and deal with him this way, so also he'll reveal himself to us. So this is so it says here that Ajamil was engaged in devotional service and through this way became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. So here's the Lord who sees him. And then always thinks. So we don't have to imagine what Krishna looks like. If we want to think of Krishna, think of Radha Shardihar or Jagannath Baladeva, as you like. Because here is the way God has appeared to us. He's made himself available in this way, locally available. So that's how we can meditate on that form of the Lord that we see every day. You can just think of him all day long. So when this reminded me, when Prabhupada says in the word-for-word translation, Anubhava Atmani, speaking of the Lord as one who was always thought of. Anubhava means experienced. Anubhava means direct experience. It says that one of the effects of devotional service is Paresha Anubhava, Para Isha Anubhava, direct experience of the Lord. So Anubhava Atmani, who's always thought or experienced in the heart. And then Prabhupada says, beginning from the lotus feet and gradually progressing upwards. So this is the way of meditation on the Lord's form. So there's, in the Bhagavatam, there's these famous prayers by Krishna's aunt Kunti Devi. In the eighth chapter of the first canto. So one of these prayers, Kunti Devi goes like this: Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamalani, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. So in this way, what she's saying is, so the repeating the word Pankaja. Pankaja is a name for a lotus. It means born of the mud, Pankaja. And so she's thinking of Krishna, and she's saying, offering obeisances to him, Namaha Pankajanabhaya, whose navel, in his abdomen, his navel, is like a lotus. Well, I'll describe in a minute, we'll read the purport. Nama Pankaja Malani. Malani, he has a flower garland of lotus flowers. So his navel is like a lotus. His chest, flower garlands. Pankaja Netraya, he has lotus eyes. So Prabhupada said, whose glance is as cooling as a lotus flower. Nama Pankaja Angraye, and whose feet, we always say lotus feet, in Krishna's case, his feet have that, and the sole of the feet, there's the mark of the lotus. So here she starts, not with the feet, but with the navel, from here, to the eyes, and then down. But see how she's like systematically meditating on the form of the Lord. All, in this case, is the navel. So Prabhupada says, here are some of the specific symbolic marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguishes his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of being a woman. This is earlier. This is claimed because women, Shudras, and Dvijabandhus, or the wretched descendants of the three higher classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, form, etc. of the Supreme Absolute Truth. By the way, in the Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra, so nobody should feel better than anybody else. It's verse because Kalo Shudra Samblavaha. But so all of us are unfit. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archa Vigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, Shudras, and Bijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as Pankaja Nabhi. In other words, lotus navel, because it's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, this lotus grows from his navel. So if you think of Krishna's lotus navel, also you also think of how he's creating the whole world by growing the universe in the form of a lotus flower. The Pankaja Nabhi Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, his transcendental form, as in different elements, namely a form within a mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewels, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, and so on. The scriptures say there are different elements that you can make the form of the Lord in. So wood, one name of Lord Jagannath is Daru Brahman, Brahman who appears as wood. Form made of earth, sometimes it's done like that. Form made of metal. Earth also means stone, you know, like marble, it's kind of earth. A form made of jewels, you can carve a deity out of jewels. A form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, sometimes the deities are made like that, temporarily for worship. And so on. I don't know. Today we've added to it sometimes modern plastics and styrofoam and so on. Somewhere in the Boston Temple where they have Ratiacha, their deities at the temple are very small. You can't see them. So they made a big Jagannath to go behind them, made of styrofoam. Just for going out on the Rath Yatra. Otherwise, they keep them, you know, wrapped up in the year. Everybody calls them Styrofoam Brahma. Daru Brahma, Styrofoam. But the real deities are also on the car, so that's... Anyway, nobody can see them, they're too little. So they have this Styrofoam Brahma. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, so there. And there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. When people come to the temple, it should be peaceful. Nice Vaikuntha atmosphere. Vaikuntha means a place where there's no anxiety. The meditators worship a form within the mind. That's the first thing a deity can be made of, is manas, mind. Well, that's possible also to do deity worship like that. You just see a form made of mind, like the yogis. Anyway, it comes. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple and worship the different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. We just discussed that. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent. And one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudra and so on. Then he says, one should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet. Just like he said in today's purport, you begin from the feet. Gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. In other words, it's a progression beginning with humility, so you always start with the feet. But then he said, but you notice that this verse begins with the abdomen. So Prabhupada says, Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because the Lord might feel ashamed that his aunt, who's like his mother, is like worshiping his feet first, so they might feel this is not proper that my superior is doing this, right? So thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, that is, from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything there is in order. So when we do arti to the Lord, for example, when you offer the ghee wicks first to the feet, you circle feet four times, then the waist, then the chest, then the face, then all around like that. That's the sequence where you start at the feet. And you go up like this. Prabhupada, who gave a series of lectures on these verses in the chapter 8, The Prayers of Queen Kunti, which had been published as a separate book. And so when Prabhupada gave the lecture, he said, if one sees a lotus flower, one can immediately remember Krishna. For example, if one loves one's child and one sees any of the child's garments, his shoes, or a small ship, or any of his playthings, one will immediately remember the child. Oh, these are my child's shoes. These are my child's playthings. This is his garment. This is the nature of love. So if one actually loves Krishna, one can remember him always. Remember, because it says in today's verse that he was always remembering Krishna by looking at the deity. It is not difficult to remember Krishna. Here Kunti Devi describes Krishna with reference to lotus flowers. Similarly, now this is very interesting what Prabhupada says. When Krishna describes himself in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Rasoham apsu kanteya. I am the taste of liquids. So one can remember Krishna by tasting water. This taste of water, this thirst-quenching property, that's Krishna. So one can always remember Krishna. Just when every time you drink water, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. This taste is Krishna's energy, Krishna's presence everywhere, and so on. Even if one is drinking liquor, which is normally forbidden, if he thinks the taste of this drink is Krishna, he will one day turn out to be a great saintly person. So I can request, Prabhupada says, even drunkards to become Krishna conscious, but to speak of others, because Krishna says, Rasoham apsu kanteya, I am the taste of liquids. Generally, in this context, liquid is taken to mean water, but liquor is also liquid. It is only sugar and molasses, or some other combination fermented and distilled. Of course, it's bad because it creates intoxication. Although in one sense nothing is bad, liquor is bad because it creates bad effects. In America there are many drunkards, there's no scarcity of them. But I may request even the drunkards, when drinking wine, kindly remember that the taste of this drink is Krishna. Just begin in this way and one day you'll become a saintly Krishna conscious person. So Krishna is available under any circumstances if we want to catch him. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that's 10:10, Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buri yogam tam yenamam upayantate. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. If one is actually very serious in searching for Krishna, Krishna is everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamari krushantam aham bhajami. He is situated in every atom. Krishna is present within the universe, within our hearts, and even within the atom. So it is not difficult to find him, but one must know the process by which to do so. This process is very simple, and by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are distributing this process to everyone without charge. Therefore, many people think it's not very valuable. You charge a lot of money. Sometimes they are more interesting. The process is to chant Hare Krishna. As soon as one chants Hare Krishna, one will immediately understand Krishna. And then Prabhupada talks about doing this by hearing Bhagavad Gita. That's another form of Krishna. Just as Krishna is there in this mantra, the most accessible, the deity, Bhagavad Gita. So here in these prayers, Kunti Devi, a great devotee, is giving us an opportunity to become Krishna conscious simply by concentrating our mind on Pankaja. He says this because four times this word is repeated. Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Malane, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. Excuse me. So Pankaja, 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 Pankaja. Panka means mud and ja means generated. Although the lotus flower is generated from mud, it is a most important flower and Krishna likes it very much. Kunti Devi is therefore describes all the parts of Krishna's body with reference to lotus flowers, so that as soon as one sees a lotus flower, one will immediately think of Krishna. Oh, Krishna's navel is just like a lotus, and from Krishna's navel through the stem of the lotus upon which Brahma, the creator of this universe, was born. This universe includes so many planets and seas, mountains and cities, with motor cars and other paraphernalia. But this entire universe began from that lotus. Nama Pankajamalini, from Krishna, comes the wonderful lotus flower that contains the seed of the entire universe. But he is not the source of only one such flower. Krishna is not so poor that he simply produces one lotus flower and then finish. No. Just as there may be a garland with many flowers, Krishna is the source of innumerable universes, which may be compared to a big garland of lotuses. The lotus on it says, this is God. Krishna is unlimited. We are very much concerned with this one planet, but Krishna's creation contains unlimited numbers of planets. So when you see a Krishna with garland with flowers, especially, of course here we don't have lotus flowers, it's a little hard to get, but still you can think that there's all these lotus flowers, you think how many universes come from Krishna. Krishna's navel resembles a lotus, he's garlanded with lotuses, and his eyes are compared to the petals of the lotus. Alola Chandra Kalasad Vanamal Nivamshi, from the Brahma Samhita. So if we simply think of only this one verse, which describes Krishna's body with reference to the lotus, we can meditate our whole life on how beautiful Krishna is, how wise Krishna is, how Krishna is manifest in his creation. This is meditation, thinking of Krishna. And then he quotes from 12th canto Bhagavatam, Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Ayam Yoginaha. A yogi is one who always thinks of Krishna. Those who think of something impersonal are not yogis. Their meditation simply involves undergoing more and more labor. And he quotes from the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Klesho Adhikarastesham Avyakta Sakta Chetasam, where Krishna, Arjuna asks Krishna, which is better, those who are concentrated on your personal form or those who are concentrated on the unmanifest, on Brahman. And he definitely says, for those who are on the path of just trying to meditate or direct their attention toward the impersonal feature of the Lord, he says, it's very difficult for them. Klesha, it's great trouble. And they cannot reach anything substantial. All they really experience is the negation of material, but no positive spiritual content. So Prabhupada continues, therefore, after meditation, they say, come on, give me a cigarette. That is not meditation. Meditation means thinking of Krishna always. As he quoted earlier, satatam chitayanto mam, always thinking of me. And endeavoring to advance in Krishna consciousness with a firm vow, yantatascha dhritavata. We have to be purified. Param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram paramam bhavam. Because Krishna is pure, pavitram. We cannot approach Krishna impurely. But if we think of Krishna always and meditate upon Krishna, we shall be purified. Punya sravana kirtana. That meditation can be possible by hearing and chanting. Thinking of Krishna will automatically come. That's the process of Krishna consciousness. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam. The word smaranam means remembering. If we chant and hear, then remembrance will automatically come, and then we shall engage in worship Krishna's lotus feet, sevanam. Then we shall engage in temple worship, archanam, and offering prayers, vandanam. We shall engage ourselves as Krishna servants, dasyam, and we shall become friends, sakya, with Krishna, and we shall surrender everything to Krishna, atmanivedanam. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. That's Prabhupada's from the prayers of Queen Kunti, his lecture that he gave. So we see in today's verse, this is what's happening. This Anubhavatmani, he's in the temple, engaging in devotional service, meditating on the Bhagavad Dhammi, the form of the Lord in the temple, who is Brahmani, the transcendent Lord, Anubhavatmani, and then always thinking of him in this way. And so, in this way, he becomes very advanced in Krishna consciousness. Tomorrow we'll see what happens next. The Vishnu Dutas pay him another visit. Second visit. Any questions? Comments?
I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
One is, you said we human beings cannot see beyond the material things.
Mm.
Which is very true. I can see that myself. I mean, why is that? And
why is that?
Of course, you gave the answer that we are fallen souls here. Mm. And how to get out of this trouble, meaning, of course, Krishna consciousness, think about him, worship, and see Krishna everywhere. The second, maybe you can give us supplement answers. But the second question is, why we are, in Kali Yuga, you said we are fallen souls. So that's again a new perspective for me, which is nice to know. But if you can explain that a little bit. The third one is, I'm sorry, you don't have to explain it now, but I'm just...
Okay, go ahead.
And you said there are qualities to determine that someone doesn't have qualities.
No.
That's very interesting.
When it says about Krishna, the qualities of one who has no qualities, it means the spiritual qualities of one who has no material qualities.
Right.
From a material perspective, it sounds contradictory.
Right.
But actually, if you understand, the word guna can be used for the particular sense for the three modes of nature, material qualities. But also, Krishna has spiritual name, form, qualities, pastimes, but they're not material. Now, from those of us who can see material, it's hard to imagine what those are. Just like if you're colorblind, I can't describe to you what red is.
Right.
There's no way you can know except by seeing. So similarly, spiritual qualities, ultimately we have to be able to have spiritual experience. We don't have spiritual experience now, we only see matter. Because of this covering of Maya. And the covering of Maya is there. Ultimately, it's our decision. Either we can want to remember Krishna, oh, we can want to forget Krishna. We are forgetting Krishna or fallen really because it's our decision. We have a certain amount of freedom. In one sense, Krishna doesn't even want this material world to exist. It's like a prison house in the kingdom of God. No good government wants there to be prisons. But Krishna doesn't even want this material world to exist. On the other hand, the individual soul has a little bit of freedom. And that freedom is that we can voluntarily surrender to Krishna and serve him in love, or we can turn away. We can, and those in the material world, which vary, although there's so many souls in the material world, compared to the actual number of souls, it's very small. We're really a minority here in all the material universes. But somehow or other, we decided that we would like to, why should Krishna be God? Why can't I be God? Something like that.
But is, I think it's possible to see some spiritual qualities once in someone advanced in age. For example, I examined in the past 35 years, like, uh-huh. 15 years, consistent 20 years. I should have done X, Y, Z way, certain things.
Uh-huh.
And those are probably consistent with, not purely.
Yeah,
consistent.
Spiritual qualities in the sense that they're intangible spiritual qualities, different compassion, mercy, so on. Although these are also, in a sense, in the material mode of goodness. But also, Krishna's body is blue, for example. That's a quality, of his color blue. But it's not the blue of this material world. It's that blue from which the blue of the material world is kind of a dim imitation or reflection. That's, you cannot see that blue until our eyes are completely pure. Krishna has a form, a body, but his body is exceptional in many ways. It's not made of matter. It's not a machine of pipes, pumps, and tubes. And every part can perform the function of the whole. We have no such experience of these kind of forms. But that's the other thing that we right now we cannot see. But when Krishna is available to us, even in this condition, in the form of the deity, in the form of his name, in the form of prasadam, in the form of devotees, and so many ways, he makes himself accessible. And by engaging our material senses in these ways that Krishna is present to us, our senses become purified. So it is said that our materially contaminated senses cannot grasp Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, his activities. But when those senses have become engaged in devotional service and therefore become purified, then they again become capable of perceiving Krishna. So it's not that Krishna cannot be seen, but those who are not qualified, they can't see him. And then they say, well, there's no God, I can't see him. But why what you see is the judge of what there is? I can see. Oh, can you show me? Yeah, sure. This is what you do. Start chanting Hare Krishna. You have to undergo a process. Huh? Yeah. What's so difficult about that? I say to a scientist, I can't see atoms. I say, well, we can show you. Yeah? Can you really show me? Yeah, sure. But then you show me a little picture of that's just a dot on a cathode ray tube. No, it's an atom. How is that seeing that? Well, you have to understand the whole process. In other words, after you get a PhD in physics, then you can see. So, I mean, it's the same system. You have to have your senses and your mind educated in a certain way. Then you can see. You become qualified. For a doctor, you know, he looks at an x-ray, I just see it. But he sees, oh look, there's a tumor right there, you know. I can see. Because he has jnana chakshusha, the eyes of knowledge. So there's spiritual knowledge. So that's why Prabhupada calls Krishna consciousness a science. Because by practical application, the practitioner himself also has direct experience. That's how it works. Okay, we're going to open the DVDs now. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.